Welcome to the One Speed MMA Podcast. This is yours truly, Flying Smitty.
Carson Wood. Justin shed the first and last name again this week. Back to Flying Smitty.
I like to keep him on their toes.
I refuse. He will be Justin to me.
I like to
not refer to you by a handle.
I like to keep him on his toes. The one fan.
How are you?
Started good, a new man. Job. I'm a little tired.
You look it.
We got a lot of crazy stuff going on in real life and in the world of MMA, as you know.
You got a new job.
I did get a new job. Started today. We find influencers to pay ungodly amounts of money just to be famous on Instagram.
We got to get into that. And we got to be on the YouTube, other end of that.
Yeah, and YouTube and so on and so forth.
Can't be offensive anymore there, though.
Yeah, they're starting to cut them out. Apparently, someone got in trouble for... Basically, if YouTube doesn't censor you, if you want to make money, then the person paying you will censor you at least a little bit.
Meh. Stupid. Just working fine.
It's just like UFC sponsorship. You can't say certain words if you're getting paid by the UFC.
Why can't they do tiered things? Or why can't they let the weird sponsors sponsor weird people? The classy ones sponsor people?
Well, we only represent about five clients. So, I mean, they probably are
weird. I'm just
saying
YouTube in general.
I agree. If you represent, like, Man Pants or Tommy John's and you want to sponsor some off-the-wall cussing.
Like a Bill Burr.
Yeah. Yeah. You should be able to choose exactly which ads. Actually, they do. If you get into ads, you can actually say what kind of brands you want to be.
Right.
You want to be shown on.
But they won't give you revenue if you're offensive anymore, right?
They'll give you, well, yes. But
they'll still show ads and they'll get revenue for it, but you won't.
No. They just pull ads. So the ads won't be there anymore. But what happens is they do it after like 200,000 views.
I think I know a little bit more about this than you do. No, I don't. Not even a little bit.
Okay, I was like, really, do you? Because you
no.
can teach me.
No.
So the issue is this.
I had a misunderstanding
outside,
of it.
Yeah, outside of MMA. So what happens is if you break any kind of copyright or you say something offensive and YouTube decides it's offensive, you may have 200,000 views on that video and then all of a sudden they pull your advertising. Well, what happens is you might not realize they pulled your advertising until the next time you're supposed to get paid, and that video might be at 1 million views. So you didn't get paid between 200,000 and 1 million views. That's the issue. It's not that the issue is that they're pulling it. They're not letting the people know that it's being pulled quickly enough, or they're not letting them know at all, and they're not necessarily being specific on which content is getting them pulled.
Well, I thought they haven't even implemented that yet. It was the new terms and conditions that they came out with that
they're
now censoring people for like ad revenue and things like that and trying to clean it
up. Oh, then we might be talking about two different things.
Mm-hmm. Because look up the new stuff. It's awful.
Yeah, before they were just cutting.
This is like within the last week. Like YouTubers and stuff that I watch are real upset about it.
Yeah, mine was last week or a week and a half ago that I was reading this because they were losing revenue and they were trying to figure out why. And it was because YouTube didn't tell them, but they would just cut it and then they would lose like 500,000. So what happens is if you get 1 million views on YouTube, you make $5,000 from YouTube.
That's dope.
So
how much of it goes off subscribers?
I don't know. None. It's all off of views. Because
I thought it was off subscribers too.
It might. But what I've learned today is you may have 5 million subscribers. You post a video and only 100,000 people watch it.
But I thought that's the whole point though, is like guaranteed watching. Well, that's why you need to get
syndicated. Think about how many MMA channels do we subscribe to and then don't watch their videos.
I watch all of them. Friends out there that are.
I mean, there's almost too many. So we subscribe to a ton that I don't have time to actually get around to watch. I mean, it's the same thing with this.
But I mean,
a lot
there's
of these
still
people tune in every so often, but not every week.
But if you have subscribers, though, like there's people that I subscribe to that, you know, I'm going to watch every week. True Jordy, you know, Sargon of Akkad, stuff like that. Anyways.
But not everybody. Everyone's got their different weeks.
It still seems to me like subscribers would be a better metric than the rare lightning in a jar of 1 million views. If you can do that consistently, typically you're going to have good subscribers.
They have ways to do it. You just have to have enough money to pay for those views.
Right, but I mean, you're still paying for them.
You wonder if you could pay less than $5,000 for a if you could pay $2,000 for 1 million views on your video, and you could then pocket 3,000 views or $3,000.
I doubt that.
And if you could get it consistently, you could end up paying. Anyway, we're getting into the.
That's why I think subscribers would be a better metric.
But it's not. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of metrics that they go off of, but subscribers, you can have a ton of subscribers and not a ton of views.
How often does that happen, though?
More often than not is what they made it seem like today when I was talking to them.
Hmm. All right.
Think about all those Instagram accounts that have a ton of followers but only have so many people that like their images or whatever else it is.
That's different, though, because it's like...
It's actually easier to like...
Because you can pay for Twitter subscribers and things like that. As far as
more.
No?
No. They try and clear those out. Except Talking MMA, good old Diz, who I actually like. A lot of people really don't. Well, I don't like his political views, but I like it. Him.
What are his political views?
He's just a huge Trump supporter. Huge.
Like 400 pound or like
what? Yeah. No, but...
You can't really be too harsh on him for that. I mean, the alternative is Hillary, so...
HRC. Mrs. I'm going to die before I get into office.
Let's try those P's out. Can we say Parkinson's? just kidding.
Anyway, if you go to his Twitter and you go to the very first ones that liked his Twitter account, all of them are eggs. So it kind of makes me question. He's got like 20,000 followers or whatever it is, or even maybe even more than that. And it's like, wait a minute. A lot of these are eggs, so I don't even want to get into it. But like I said, I like him. A lot of those, he does have a lot of followers in the MMA community. But I thought it was very interesting that when we were doing our huge follow kind of thing we did at the beginning of this, that he had a lot of eggs at the beginning. So who knows who is paying and who's not paying for subscribers at certain times. However,
I know I'm not.
Twitch did do that. They would actually get bots that would drive up their views, which would get them partnerships.
Nice.
And then Twitch found out, but not found out, they basically found a way to get rid of the bots. So a lot of those people lost hundreds of thousands of viewers in one day suddenly. Yep. I read all about that on Reddit. Reddit's probably the greatest thing to ever be invented other than the internet.
And then you also hate it.
I hate it because when you post something and people tell you it sucks, it really does suck. Because there's enough people on there that tell you that it sucks. But that's 7 minutes. Let's get into actual MMA now. What do you think?
Don't want to.
Just
kidding.
Shit show this week. Absolute shit show. Starting on not so much Saturday, but yeah.
My MMA week actually has, in fact, not been a shit show. In that amount of time since we last talked about watching The Ultimate Fighter
5,
I've watched Tough 3 Brazil and Tough 1.
Oh, really?
Merca.
When are you finding all this time to do that?
And before going to bed. I usually sit down to eat and just like watch a couple episodes and stuff like that.
Couple.
But it's, dude. So it was essentially, I don't know if we talked about this because I can't remember, but the break that Travis Brown had on his hand, like when he dislocated his finger.
Oh, yeah. We did. We talked about it last week.
Well, I can't remember if we talked about the... Because I think I was watching Tough 3 then, but the exact same thing happened on the fights to get into the house in Tough Brazil, and the guy tried to come back on, and they wouldn't let him. So, I mean, and that's the way that it should be handled.
It's not the only time I think that we've seen a break like that. I think we've seen a break like that with the finger just like that another time. That's why I thought they had stolen the image.
I hated Tough 3, though. Really ruined Chael's persona. You can just tell like how much he actually likes people.
On Tough 3? Chael was on Tough 3?
Tough 3 Brazil.
Oh, Tough 3 Brazil. Oh, with him. And you know which one I about watched? Let's get into a linear. Okay, Tough 3 Brazil I did not watch.
It's Vanderlei Chael.
Did that even get all the way through the season?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They got into a fight like episode 3.
Yeah.
Dana reamed him. And then
don't get too close. I'll have to defend myself.
Yeah. And commentating his own fight. And then... Dita, I think is his name. They escorted him away from it because he started. Did you see like him start cheap shotting?
I haven't seen any of this.
Yeah, so I thought because that circulated pretty quick. But so you can't get close to me.
Yeah,
and then he
comes, saw that because someone just posted it on Reddit again.
So he pushes him.
Oh yeah, and then he starts hitting him on the ground.
Then you look at Dita coming breaking it up, and he's not breaking it up. He just starts punching Chael in the back of the head, and Vanderlei lands a pretty solid elbow on Chael, but you can just tell like.
A lot of people said it's staged. You think it's staged?
It could have been. I don't know. But, I mean, there's
Vandelay, I don't think Vandelay's smart enough to stage something like that.
I think he's smarter than you think.
I think he is, but I think he's
Brazilian and just a hothead. Exactly. Like, you could say, I mean, that's the thing. If somebody like made fun of America, I don't think I would care much, you know, like in any way, shape or form. He did say messed up things. Like the act that he was doing went too far when he was talking about the kids playing in the mud.
See, and I don't know what I don't.
So he says, you don't remember all of that when like the first Anderson fight? And he's like, in innovation, we were in America when I was growing up, you know, I had all the innovation. They were making computers. Anderson Silva, you know, he looks out the window and it's kids playing in the mud.
And I do remember that. He just said a lot during that time, and it's hard to keep track of all of it.
The same
Cracker Jack, black belt.
All of that's fine. Yeah. Like, all of that, like, I don't care about. Taking it with the kids is a little far. But, you can tell, though, that the fighters knew exactly that, you know, it something was an act. Happen. But even some of them wouldn't let it go still. And then they would get really upset with other team members for ever talking to Chell and everything, because one of them asked me, like, tell me your real opinion. And Chell was like, I promise I'll tell you by the end of the show. But then they never showed it on our end.
That's funny.
Jerks.
That's interesting. And Chell's coaching Brazilian fighters?
Yeah, all Brazilian.
And they have to go on his team? Do any of them not want to go onto his team?
None of them want to go on his team, and they all end up liking him a lot.
Of course they do.
I think they end up start cheering for him, actually, too, which is super uncharacteristic. Like, Worley, when Worley Alves wins the whole thing, he just says, Chell, now it's your turn. And then, obviously, that fight never happened. Yeah. But that kind of segues into Chell actually getting signed.
Oh, to Bellator.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that yet.
Holy cow. This week has been a shit show. So let me cover two things real quick, and then I'd like to get into that. But you did segue into that perfectly. First off, the fights in Hidalgo, which a lot of them went to third rounds. Chad Scali finished his. You did not see this, but there was a super controversial stoppage on Derek Brunson, or on Uriah Hall.
You showed me, though.
Yeah, and the video I showed you was very pixelated.
I saw what happened.
But the big controversy is that Brunson didn't land any strikes when Uriah Hall was actually on the ground. So it was
He doesn't have to, though.
But he didn't land any to the face, and Uriah Hall was extended. And to me, it looked like he was getting up. So I watch a lot of things that I think should have been stopped, and I think that was an early stoppage. I think it was an early stoppage.
It was an early stoppage, but I don't think that it was necessarily inaccurate. One of those was going to land. The way that he was positioned, he's up against the fence.
But his hands start to roll forward by the time none of them have landed. If one of them would have landed, then that fight should have been cold.
He could have still gotten a couple more, because a lot of that was Herb coming over. Like, I'm not saying that it wasn't early and wrong, but I mean, it would have to have been something, I think, pretty drastic.
It was a flash KO. And if you drop, rewatching him drop from getting punched was kind of like, he got caught. But he just, I mean, it looked like he was defending himself and trying to get up to me.
And he was. You're right, he was. But, I mean, in looking at the pixelated image that I saw, you know, it looked like, yeah, he missed every one, but he could still have dropped a few more bombs before Herb Dean called it. And it could have been a lot worse for Uriah Hall. I mean, Uriah Hall's young still.
Yeah.
He can bounce back from it.
Apparently he's already training again.
Yeah.
That's how little he was hurt. So that's all I kind of want to discuss with that. Yeah, it's super unfortunate. But Derek Brunson's on his way up. He lost to Yoel Romero. He's like 7-2 in his last 9 fights. Like, he's on his way up there.
Would you have preferred would you have preferred, and I already know the answer, this is rhetorical, but would you have preferred that it go longer rather than shorter?
Yeah.
Which way is better at the end of the day for us and the fighters?
Better for the fan is longer. Better for the fighter is probably...
Not necessarily. Longer is better. I mean, look at the Verdum fight and people getting pissed about that.
Oh, because it just kept going? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that fight was going to get finished. That fight wasn't going 3 rounds. And so, I mean, that's part of why, looking at it, everyone was like, yeah, no, we could have let it go a little bit farther. Also, I think Uriah Hall is a bigger name than Derek Brunson in the casual fan aspect of MMA. And so I think a lot of people were like, oh, man, I didn't want to see him lose. So because I like him and
Brunson's,
I know
what
who
Hall
is.
Could be.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, he will finish fights.
Yeah, no, Uriah Hall has all of the talent in the world and just no killer instinct. And then some bad luck. I mean, he did get caught. The next fight, though, Dustin Poirier versus Michael Johnson, another good fight. It's interesting, and we do it as well, the psychology of how fighters look either before or after, you know, they fight. You know, one comes in really loose and ready to go, and one comes in very stoic, you know. Michael Johnson actually came into Kendrick Lamar.
AKA Ben's Mad, did him just a car?
Mad City. Ooh. And that's when I decided that that's who I was rooting for.
That might be my favorite record.
It's a good one.
I think that might be my favorite. On, like, the whole, well, I don't know. It's up there. So good. Good job, Michael Johnson.
Yeah, so he came out. So anyway, Dustin Poirier came out super loose, dancing, smiling, doing his thing. Michael Johnson came out just stern as can be. And it wasn't stern like worried stern. It was stern like,
it's about to go down.
This is about to happen. I've had to deal with the whole Nate Diaz thing. Dustin Poirier has been talking shit this entire time, like it's on. Mm-hmm. And he crushed Dustin Poirier. And afterwards, they were huge
Did I pick that wrong?
Jerks to each other.
I think I picked that wrong.
Both of them were huge jerks. I was actually listening to that right before this to make sure our audio sounded okay. But they were both huge jerks to each other, and apparently they apologized at the end. And then Michael Johnson came back and said that since then, in another interview, that Dustin Poirier was super disrespectful. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, don't squash a beef and then bring it back up. Just let it go.
Yeah.
Move forward.
Yeah.
So that's that. So that is cleared. We can get rid of that. So let's talk Chael Sonnen and Bellator. That's the first shit show. Did you watch any of the interviews on the actual Bellator card where he came out and did all of his little shtick?
I read it, and I did listen to the Ariel Helwani interview with him.
I didn't the old one or the brand new
just
one?
Just barely
See,
aired.
I missed it.
See, he seems real bitter about what happened with the UFC, and he wouldn't elaborate on what happened to that. And he actually kind of got mad at Ariel a little bit. He was nice still. He's cordial.
Well, because Ariel pushes it.
Yeah, and he's like, so, and he kind of danced around a question and then just asked Chael directly, and Chael's like, I know what you were asking. I'm fine with my answer, and we should move on. And so he's like, okay. And there was a couple other times in the interview where Chael kind of had to push it forward, which...
It's interesting because I watch Ariel Helwani. That's the one thing I dislike about watching him. But it's the number one thing as a journalist you kind of have to do when he's like, who'd you like to fight next? And they're like, I don't know, whoever the UFC gives me. And they're like, but, you know, but if you could decide, it's like, okay, Ariel, like, I don't know what else you want us to say. Or when he was talking to Alistair Overeem about, like, the championship belt or whatever a long time ago, and Alistair, or no, he's trying to talk with Alistair about his contract. And Alistair kept being like, I can't talk about my contract. And then he would bring it back up and be like, but they're paying you pretty well, right? And he'd be like, Ariel, I can't talk about my contract. And then he was like, if you ask me one more time, more or less, we're going to end this interview. And Ariel was like, oh, man, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not, you know, I just asking the questions that people want to know about. And it was like, all right, Ariel, like, everyone knew that he was getting irritated. You should have just moved on.
Do you hear the fine if Chael gets caught for Royden?
Do you think it's real?
Yeah, I think it's real.
So the fine is...
They lose a shit ton.
He loses his entire purse, right? And then he has to pay $500,000. Chael Sonnen is also not known to be the most honest of person when he's in interviews. He likes to hyperbolize a bit. So there's a lot of people on Reddit that didn't believe him.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, I don't know why he would lie about that. But also, it just seems like a prudent move. Like... Because I mean, how's Bellator going to recover the money if he doesn't get a show up? Think about everything that the UFC put into doing the Tough Three, the Vanderlei and Chael fight, and then they both ping, and or the Chael or any of the John Jones incidences. UFC 200, like, it's just a prudent move. It doesn't seem like something Chael would necessarily lie about.
When he would headline, and if they lost him, they would lose the entire card, almost like the Affliction going out of business card. You know, they could put together something like that, and if enough people pulled out of it, they would be done. I don't necessarily believe it. I don't, as we know as well, most of those fines are never actually claimed. So I think Jordan was talking about this in the way early interview. When people break contract, a lot of times the UFC doesn't go for him for the money that they owe him or that they would be owed if they broke contract.
I would see it in the, if he fights again, that's when they're going to be like, all right, you're going to pay us $500,000. like, but yeah, they're not going to be,
or we're taking it from your purse or whatever it is.
Or they at least have like a bargaining chip at that point to like make up the money on the back end, or, you know, they could go after him for it.
You think? So do you know anything that's going on with Al Iaquinta? Mm-mm. He caused a bunch of issues, so they took away his win bonuses. You think they did that with Chael Sonnen? You think they were like, because of all of this stuff with the Ultimate Fighter and you pinging and us basically releasing you from the UFC, you know, UFC Tonight and all of that, do you think that they were basically telling him that he couldn't get pay-per-view points and he couldn't get any bonuses until all of that was more or less paid back? Like, do you think that they were kind of being jerks about it?
I honestly don't know. That could be it. I haven't even actually thought about that. It very well could be that.
I didn't think about it until right now.
Because you could still do, like, him, Anderson Silva. Like, you wouldn't, but, like, stuff like that. You could do him, Vitor. He's always wanted Vitor. There's fights out there for him.
Because you could basically take away all of his bonuses, and he would still be allowed to fight. He would still make money, but he would make nowhere near as much.
I just don't know that they would lowball him like that with, like, the passing of his daughter and everything. Like, I don't know.
And maybe that's why he feels disrespected, because he's got so much going on, but they were still kind of jerks to him.
I don't know. I mean, it's out of my, like, that's, I'm out of place talking about that, I think, like, bringing that up, because I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah. I just think that there was a better offer on the table, substantially better offer. But Chael's more important to the Bellator roster than Chael is UFC roster. But he's still very important to the UFC roster. He's still probably making more than, you know, 75% of the guys out there.
Do you think Bellator's actually turned a profit? I heard that they haven't.
Probably not yet, no.
That's definitely interesting.
They probably haven't yet, in all honesty.
So the other thing about this is that I find very interesting. So Chael Sonnen, I hope for the best for him. He's going to be successful. You can tell he just wants to fight, because you know he's making enough money with his podcast and with his ESPN gig that he probably doesn't have to go fight. I think he just likes to fight. So one of the other shit shows that I just kind of brought up was Al Iaquinta. So to explain to those listening, and of course to Carson, so he can kind of get in on the discussion here, Al Iaquinta pulled out of the UFC 205 card. He was on it. He was supposed to be fighting Thiago Alves, and decided that his contracted rate, which he had already signed, he signed a four-fight contract. I think it was a 25-25 or 26-26, something like that. He decided after knee surgery and a bunch of different issues that he wasn't going to take that contract. He pulled out of the fight because he thought that he deserved more. And then he went on, and I think this is Ariel Helwani, he went on to explain that because of several incidences that he was no longer on the list to be able to get bonuses. Well, the issue with this is apparently the UFC tells you, like, hey, if you break certain rules, you'll no longer be able to be eligible for bonuses. He had three strikes against him. One, he tore up a hotel room. Two, he said the F word on TV on Fox, and they had to bleep it, and I think they missed one. And then there was one more major issue that he caused, and I can't remember what it was. So in your opinion, if you're a fighter that signed a contract for a certain amount and then you break three core rules, should you be able to be like, the UFC owes me more money and they shouldn't take away these options for me at bonuses? Or should you just accept the fact that you're the one that screwed up and be okay with not getting those bonuses for X amount of fights?
I understand the bargaining chips that you do and like fighting and then also renegotiating contracts and things like that. I get that. But I mean, at the end of the day, if the UFC decides that they want to pay you what you had agreed them to pay you, that's what you get paid. And trying to like, he's not a needle mover. Nobody's trying to find like watching Iaquinta fight. Like, it's good if it's on a card, like it's a name, but it's not like, yeah. I mean, he should be able to bargain for more. They have every right in the world to ban him from bonuses. There's no legal obligation to give him bonuses. And
especially if your own actions caused those. You tore up a hotel room, which the UFC most likely had to cover.
All of that, like, in my opinion, is kind of like added to the story, right? Like, it just gives flavor to it. Ask me the simple question, should they be able to ban your bonuses? They absolutely should. Should you be able to renegotiate your contract? Yeah. But they also, and they're not in the wrong.
The part that irritates me about this is he came out and was like, apparently I have three strikes against me. All I did is these three things. And it was like, no, man, they have documented things that you have done that they told you specifically not to do, and then you did them, and then they told you that there's a punishment for those things,
and you exactly got on and start what it would bitching be about it.
Yeah, and then you came out and were like, they're not going to pay me enough money, and it's because I did these three things. I can't believe these are big enough facts to lose me $50,000. And it's like, you knew going into it what you were. It's just, it's childish to me. I mean, yes, I think he should get paid more than $26.26. Does he necessarily deserve it? No, but I think a billion dollar company. Sorry, I didn't mean it like that. I think a $1 billion company should pay everyone under their belt more money. If you can't pay them more money, cut them and let them go to a Bellator or WSOF and compete until they prove themselves again, and then pull them back over and give them more money.
UFC really hasn't been too, you know, usually when things like this happen, they do end up letting fighters go. I haven't really seen them. I can't think of anything that comes to mind where they've been petty and been like, well, we're not going to release your contract.
Ally Quinta has done nothing but complain about the UFC since he started fighting.
Let him go. Not a needle mover.
I don't care about Ally. I kind of agree with it. He's kind of like a Brendan Schaub, where he's like, because I'm under contract, I shouldn't say certain things. And then he goes forward to say them anyway. And you're like, you're going to get yourself in some trouble. And then all of a sudden he's cut. And it's like, yeah, that's partly because of your fighting and partly because of the shit you've been talking on the UFC. And it makes sense. I mean, you kind of deserve it if that's... I couldn't go into work tomorrow and be like, man, this is the shittiest company I've ever worked for. I can't believe you guys don't pay me more. Like, everyone here should be demanding more work and not expect to get fired from my job.
Right. And it's like, well, I mean, a couple of days ago you agreed to this and it was all... You were smiling.
Well, his thing was... He blew out his knee, and it was covered by the UFC, which he was like, they said they weren't going to cover it. Then they covered it, the whole thing. But if that were to happen again after this fight, I wouldn't be able to fight anymore. My career would be over. And it's like, I understand to a point, but all
he had a wake up call, and he's dealing with stress inappropriately.
Exactly.
That's what's happening.
I agree.
He's trying to do the right thing by himself and his family, probably. I mean, I can't fault him for that. But at the same time, UFC's managing, 500 different people? You know, like, they can't... They're not going to go down on bended knee for Ally Quinta. Like, not going to happen.
Especially since he's caused problems from the beginning.
Right.
So I just thought that was interesting. I think they're getting a lot more stern with contracts. That kind of ties in with Chael. Who knows what was actually offered. The next shit show, before we get to what happened yesterday and part of today, is Chris Cyborg, who's headlining this week's card, having all the issues and all of the videos she's releasing about not being able to make weight, and basically calling out her weight coach or her nutritionist, for her not being able to make weight, and basically blaming it on him and saying that she's having a really hard weight cut. From last I heard, she was 24 pounds over. There were rumors today that she was on weight, but what fighter is going to be on weight 2 days before the weigh-in? You're not going to come in on weight 2 days before the weigh-in. You're going to come in on weight hours before the weigh-in. So what are your thoughts on Chris Cyborg trying to cut to 140, the UFC not accommodating with a catch weight and not doing much for her other than being like, no, you got to make this weight and you'll fight whoever will actually fight you?
Is she going down to 135?
She says she can't make it. She says that she can't make 140.
I think that she should have went with Mike Dolce. This episode brought to you by the Dolce Diet.
Yeah.
No, I really do like Mike Dolce. I actually did look into his program, by the way.
Oh.
Because I want to bulk up, but I
no, wasn't no, no, really... no. His is for cutting weight.
His is for nutrition, sir.
Oh, I guess that's true.
But it was like $99, not very descriptive of like what actually would happen. So it was just like, no. I don't know, man. Did anybody not see this coming? She's been saying for years she can't make the weight.
Do you care about Chris Cyborg? No. I heard she's a sweetheart, but as a, like an actual fighter and seeing her fight in the UFC and all of that, do you really care?
She's like a pit bull. Like she is
she's
a Brazilian
a sweetheart, but she will rip your face off or your children's face off.
She just looks mean and angry and really is just nice. very rare does she actually like attack a child, but
when she does,
and just probably does like, I don't know. I was going to say irrational things, but that's not fair. Like,
because she's never shown.
I think
her
she's
do
trying to
things.
Make a 145 division. I think that's what's happening.
But there's nowhere near. That's like the heavyweight division of men, where there's no depth and not enough people
I know,
to fight.
It's a bad move.
You think she's trying to single-handedly be like, I'm going to force this?
She signed with the UFC and said she couldn't make 135. What other conclusion can you draw from that?
That's a good point.
I'm just going to fight catch weights. I'm going to have 135ers come up to me. I'm not saying if she can't make weight, don't make weight.
They're saying she's a big pull in Brazil, so maybe they think that she's going to pull enough revenue in. I mean, she's headlining, for goodness sake. It's not a title fight because it's a catch weight. Mm-hmm. It's the first non-title belt women's fight, I think, to headline a card. And I could be wrong, and if I am, tweet at me and tell me that I am. But I can't think of any other female.
Holm Shevchenko.
And Ronda Rousey.
Wait, I thought you said non-title fight.
Holm Shevchenko wasn't a title fight.
I thought you said it.
Oh, no, yeah, sorry, I did say non-title fight. And they did the headline, you're right. So that was the first one. Well, that was quick. That was really easy to dispute.
Not really. I mean, I can't think of anything else.
But yeah, I mean, that was like 2 weeks ago. I should have remembered that. No, we watched it together at your house.
It was much longer. It was much longer ago.
A month and a half ago. But I mean, the UFC in Brazil is putting a lot behind her. I'm not really excited about this card per se. I feel like it's a bunch of no names fighting a bunch of no namers. And there's a lot of people that are super excited for the card. I'm just excited that there's UFC on Saturday because my football team's playing on Friday, so I don't have to worry about them corresponding with each other. But what are you? I don't want to go into the card too. Actually, that's probably about as much of the card that we'll go into. Is there anything else about the Brasilia card that you would like to talk about?
I honestly don't know anything about it. I've been focusing on like a lot of old things and finally making good on that.
Quit living in the past, man.
It's everything about MMA is about history. Who you trained with, who they trained with, your delineation, how everybody got to where they were. And it's actually really interesting going back and watching like the Sam Hogers and being just grateful to the good Lord that he never, you know, was a name in the UFC. wondering like what happened to Mike Schwick, but then also just,
he's got his own gym out. That's where, the female that just lost, she was training out there. Oh man. Why can't I think of the name? The Russian chick that's fighting in Bellator now, the really pretty one, the blonde one. Mm-hmm. She trains out with Mike Swick in MMA Thailand gym.
He was a likable dude, and so was Nathan Quarry.
He reminds me, Mike Swick and Nate Quarry remind me a lot of each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were the best parts of that show. But no, I mean, yeah, I've been focusing on that a lot, and I'll probably actually go to two next.
I mean, why in the world is Henan Burrell fighting Felipe Nover? What? Roy Nelson, Antonio Silva, fight, but not really important. Francisco Trinaldo, Paul Felder, Thiago Santos, Eric Spicely. Like, none of these, Gilbert Burns, Ronnie Yaya.
Since 200,
Dustin Ortiz.
It seems like they've done a lot of the Hidalgos, the Salt Lakes, wasn't Vancouver, was it?
Tell me that dude doesn't look just like Brad Tavares.
Which one?
Bottom right. Bottom right.
There's no bottom right.
This guy. Gianni Franco or whatever his name is.
I don't think he looks like Tavares.
Dude looks just like Tavares.
Yeah, you're right.
Don't even do that. Anyway, yeah, no, well, because you have to, there's a lot of these guys, the top of these divisions are getting shallow. You can't have the same 205ers fight each other over and over again, the same heavyweights fight each other over and over again. There's got to be a new line of MMA fighter to come through, and those people have to be put on a card. And a card like this,
think about John Jones, about Chris Weidman. I always talk about the fight where, like, I told people Weidman was going to be a champion. I didn't think he was going to beat Silva. I did not think that was going to happen. I was like, Chris Weidman will be champion, and I saw it on a Fox 2 card going up against Mark Munoz.
Yeah.
I've met very few people that actually watched that card. That's not to say that was just when I was like really, really, really into MMA and by myself. And what I'm trying to say with that is, essentially, there are those guys on the lower cards that are up and coming. They have to be proven. Mark Munoz is no slouch.
Choi.
What Chris Weidman did was a really impressive feat. And
I remember watching Ben Henderson on the Facebook undercards.
Mm-hmm. John Jones on the undercard. You know, there are maybe there's a guy down there with that that's going to prove himself a little bit a cut above the rest and can start moving forward. Maybe not, you know. But they have to kind of take those risks, and unfortunately, we get stuck with those.
The hard part is the biggest risk is on the no name. If you lose, if Henan Burrell loses to Felipe Nobert, that's bad news for him. If
Rick Story loses to
Donald Cerrone. The Spaniard, Brenneman.
Loses to Brenneman.
And he did.
You know?
And it put a huge skid in his career.
That whole division. That wasn't even the career. That was the division.
Speaking of people like Brenneman, when I don't mean to put this guy in the same category because Brenneman, I don't know him as a person. So Nicholson, don't remember his first name, but you might remember him from yelling, "Punch him in the face, he can't even see you," in Mike Perry's corner.
Mm-hmm.
He's now in trouble for domestic violence.
Bad move right then because the UFC already warned him that he's playing with fire.
Yep, and apparently, so this is one of those situations where Nicholson was in a store with his girlfriend or wife, and the cops were actually called by someone in the store about a domestic occurrence. They show up, and she's like, nothing happened. Apparently, she was like physically bruised, but she wouldn't say anything against him. It was someone else that had to call in to her defense, and she still wouldn't say anything. And this is the same dude that was like, "Hey, I'm really sorry. It was the heat of the moment. I said something really stupid." Well, apparently, he can't really control himself very well because not only is he yelling completely racist things before, you know, somebody fights, he's also now potentially beating his wife in public.
It's bad look for the whole sport. I don't like it.
Now, keeping it kind of hush, I mean, it's a good thing that he's a nobody, but on Reddit, where someone doesn't like you already, or Twitter, where people know
someone will find it.
Yep, and they'll make sure that everyone knows that you are as bad of a person as you made yourself look.
Ask War Machine before everything came out.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And then, you know, what happened.
We all know what happened.
And he got his comeuppance.
Oh, geez.
Hopefully he gets his before it gets way worse. You wouldn't want a same situation as that.
Speaking of domestic abuse accusations, perfect segue. One thing that I liked about what I saw when Rory McDonald entered Bellator is Tito Ortiz actually stood up and welcomed him into Bellator and said he was really going to like it there. And I was like, oh, Tito Ortiz doesn't look like that bad of a guy. And everyone tries to make him look like a bad guy and everyone tries to call him out and
his
whatever.
The bad guy.
The Huntington Beach bad boy. And other than just having a gigantic head, he seems like he's a pretty, like, all right dude.
Yeah, I remember watching Tough with him. That was one of the toughs that I actually watched all the way through with Liddell, and I thought he was actually really great.
He was a great coach.
And you always have that, too, except for it looks like it's going the other way with Henry Cejudo.
Yeah, he's getting weird.
Yeah, people are like, I don't want to be with him. I want to be with Benavidez, and then he's just
weird, trying to make fun of Benavidez, and then being the stand-up guy. I just had good parents. I come from a strong upbringing. I just need to put forth my best and be a role model. And Benavidez is like, I don't care to be a role model. I'm good.
Have you watched this one so far or just that?
I missed the last one. I missed the beginning. So I've watched more of the fights, but less
They've
of the
good.
Banter. Yeah.
They've
fights been have been awesome.
They've been really good.
We actually missed it tonight, speaking of which.
Oh, I'll always watch it on Thursday on my day off. So I do that.
Oh, you record it.
I do. I have them always. I set to record.
I need to start doing that.
Yeah, they've been really good too. I don't think we're going to get a strong contender out of. Well, actually, freaking, who's the guy that fought this week?
Adam.
No. He.
Damasio
well,
Page. Who lost?
Damasio Page. He lost.
He lost to a body kick.
That's right. Oh man.
And he was already in.
That kid that he, it, what was his name? It was Damasio versus
Adam. I want to say Tanillion, but Tanillion.
In my
Adam
head,
Tanillion's
he won, but you're 100% right.
Yep.
And that was a pretty bad stoppage too.
He collapsed because he got kicked in the body.
Right. He wasn't like out though, but in those, especially
but
in those
body
kind of
shuts down.
What's that?
I mean, look at Donald Cerrone, RDA. Your body just shuts down.
There's been other times that it hasn't. I'm trying to think of one that I just watched the other day where they got a body kick and it looks like they're going down and they still keep it up. And I mean, even if, I mean, if you're defending yourself.
Yeah.
But
usually with your body kick, your hands stay pretty stuck to your side.
Damasio Page, though, man, that guy throws hard.
Speaking of the history, you want to know where the first time I saw Damasio Page?
Against Demetrius Johnson?
No. I first saw Damasio Page on the Tap Out TV show that they had before The Ultimate Fighter, where the Tap Out crew would actually drive around the country and sponsor fighters. And Damasio Page was one of the first fighters that they sponsored, and they brought him out, and he lost. They still sponsored him, and then he ended up going into the WEC and just kind of sputtering out.
I really like him, by the way.
He seems like a good guy.
He's a really relatable guy. So
he's never going to be in the UFC again.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
He's at Steven Seiler status.
I don't know, man.
I like him. I'd like to see him in the UFC again, but he's had several runs where he hasn't done well. Like Jamie, almost like Jamie Varner, where he's there and he disappears, and then he's there and then he disappears, and then
he'll eventually just disappear. I don't think that he's necessarily gone. I see what you're saying, but I'm saying, like, yeah, he could just.
I'd love to see him have a resurgence, but he just lost. I'm actually kind of. I'm not glad that he lost.
I like new blood,
but I wanted to see the new kid come up. Yeah, and he did look good, and I think he's from Legacy FC, which just combined with RFA, so Ed Sword's organization and the Legacy FC just combined, so their rosters are actually going to be fighting each other, which will be exciting. Crazy stuff, man.
The one thing that I was going to say, I wanted to see this with the Chell thing. I meant that when you brought up the Tito, I want to see a 4-weight class thing for Chell. I want to see him fight. I don't want him necessarily to go down to fight Rory. I think that's too much, but I want to see him fight Rory, Vanderlei, Tito, Fedor,
and then retire. Maybe, yeah. Rampage.
I don't care if he retires. That's your business. I don't give a shit who retires, when they do or don't.
Then let's have him fight Shamrock. Ken Shamrock, Chael Sonnen.
Okay.
There it is. The best talking, smack talk build up that you'll be able to find.
What's been going on with the Connor thing? He's injured or he's not?
A lot of stuff. So let's...
Hold on, really quick.
There's something with Tough that I wanted to bring. Oh, Ronda Rousey, man. And freaking Edmund Tavarian. Have you seen all of the shit that they're talking on Reddit on him? And then now his actual Muay Thai fights are coming out from like 2007. And they're like, oh, apparently he does know how to fight. He's not going to be Jose Aldo, in which he said he could. Basically, there's this resurgence against Edmund on Reddit, which I completely understand.
And love.
Oh, I love it because I hate the guy. And Ronda Rousey's...
the flavor of the week, and I love again, that flavor.
Psychology of MMA, Ronda Rousey looking like she's either in love with him or he's like this like godlike father figure to her. It's really bizarre. But I want to go back and watch Ronda Rousey Misha Tate season again, because Ronda Rousey loses it and just looks so dumb. And it just was the boiling point of her losing it and losing her career, and it all going downhill. And I kind of want to see that freaking train wreck right before it happens, because people are posting all of these little clips and stuff from it.
Like the bar scene
where she calls out freaking Caraway and Edmund and Caraway almost fight. But then she goes and gets in freaking... No, it wasn't that. It was Dennis Hallman. Did you see that clip?
No.
So that same season, Dennis Hallman comes on. Dennis Hallman's supposed to be training. Freaking Tavarian just keeps eyeing him down as he walks by, and he's like, hey man, you got a problem? We can like go settle this. And he's like, yeah, you would like to settle with all the cameras here? And he's like, we can wait till they leave, but if you've got an issue, let's just go fight right now. Like, let's just go settle this. And so Hallman starts walking to the octagon, and freaking Tavarian doesn't follow him, but Ronda Rousey does, and gets right in his face and is like, you just want all of the cameras here, and you want to get famous off of this, and this is all you. And he's like, I didn't do anything. He's like, we can tell the cameras to go away. We can wait until after. He's like, he was eyeing me down, and if he wants to fight, we can fight. And so it's just, but Ronda Rousey's in his face like a dude. And it's like,
she's very loyal.
Then Hallman's fine. Hallman's not even getting riled up at her. He's like, you know what I mean? He's like a normal guy where he's like, I want to fight him. I don't know why this woman's in my face. There's no way I'm going to touch you or do, like, anyway, it's just weird. She is very loyal to a fault.
She's loyal to the soil, man.
Because she needs to get out of that gym big time. Rumor with her, too, is that she might be fighting Amanda Nunes before the end of this year. I don't think it happens. That's the other shit show, that she's back in the news of actually potentially fighting. Not a 205, but potentially for the belt before the end of the year.
I like that. I'm into that. Whatever.
Who cares? I think Nunes crushes her.
I have no idea. I would assume so, but honestly,
she's always got her armbar.
What Ronda shows up like? Ronda's only looked bad
once,
you know. Mm-hmm. But the division, the landscape, dude, it's like an earthquake hit, and you're on a fault line, and the whole landscape of that division is honestly. I mean, I know that people are going to put her at one after Nunes, but she's probably somewhere around five.
Yeah.
Shevchenko, Holmes, Tate's, I think, above her, even though she beat her twice. That's not fair, but that's the way it is in my mind. I mean,
MMA math.
Right. Like, she actually
lost to home, but Misha Tate beat home.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore.
MMA math, you know it. I want to talk about Connor. I didn't know a ton about it.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing that I did want to bring up, though, is obviously we're missing a voice here. We have another ducked podcast by Sean Smith.
Yeah.
And, he just won't show up.
Because he didn't want to be here so we could tell him he was wrong.
Well, we told him the time.
Conor McGregor fighting Alvarez.
They didn't show up again. How many times do we have to call Sean out?
Sean Smith. Come out here and defend yourself. Quit hiding in the shadows. But no, so here's the quick rundown. Conor, so just yesterday, right? So Eddie Alvarez posts something that's like, hey, Conor, let's do this. And it's at like 8 o'clock, which puts it at like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning in Ireland, right? And I don't know if that's where he is right now, but this is, for my timeline, this is what makes the most sense. So Eddie Alvarez is trying to pick the fight with Conor for 205.
He wants to get that belt money before he loses the belt.
That red panty night. And so in my mind, Conor's probably asleep. And then all of a sudden, Khabib says, you know what's really going down at 205, sign the contract. And everyone's like, what in the world's going on? And he said, you have 45 minutes, sign the contract. And then deletes it. And then all of a sudden a tweet pops up from some guy that's like, hey, Dana White, can you kind of explain this? And he says, Eddie Alvarez is not fighting Conor McGregor, he's fighting Khabib. And it's a reply, so someone had to go find it and like retweet it and do whatever else. And then Khabib sees that as free game and starts saying, like, this is what's happening. Sign the contract. Well, apparently Eddie Alvarez didn't sign the contract in the allotted time frame that he had. And so they won't be fighting at 205. Apparently they're going to push that fight to UFC 206. Conor, first thing in the morning when I wake up, there's a tweet from Conor 3 hours before. So at 7 o'clock, where he actually just put, beg me. That's all he put. Obviously in reference to that, but it was funny to me that it was so long after all of this, because I'm thinking he just woke up and was like, what in the hell is going on? Why are all these MMA fighters blowing up my
Probably
feet?
Had a laugh, brought his wife or girlfriend over and, babe, look what happened. Yeah. And
even when I'm not saying anything, I'm saying something.
You know who else I heard an interview from on the Ariel Helwani show, the MMA Hour, that I really like? Kavanaugh.
Coach, yeah.
All my interactions so far had been just on Twitter and things like that.
Are you going to read his book?
No, but that's what he was promoting. He seemed like a really, really good dude. He didn't seem so like...
He's starting to go on there a lot, though.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting.
I don't think a lot. It's a lot in the overall scheme of things, but you got to think of what's coming up. You've got the Conor fight that was at 205 that they wanted to do and then ended up not being that, or 200, I was going to say, and then the 203, and then, you know, then his book, he was trying to, and then they have like a lot of fighters out of there. I think he's just more or less trying to do his publicity now, get it out of the way. And
so the other interesting thing, sorry, before we go into the Kavanaugh thing, and I forget what
I was
going
to say.
Oh, we
don't have to go on. That's it on that.
He seems like a good dude. So going on with the Conor situation, then it comes out on UFC tonight that he's injured. But then Brett Okamoto from ESPN says, no, Conor's not injured. So there's this huge fiasco. The UFC's like, no, yeah, he's not fighting any of this because he's injured.
Who even cares? He'll sign the contract. Like, they'll sign the contract.
It's a shit show, and it's making everyone look bad. It makes Eddie Alvarez look really bad. It makes him look like he's ducking Khabib. And you want to know the thing that irritates me
most?
Not
ducking Khabib. He's trying to get paid before he loses the belt.
I think so, too.
Like, because from my understanding, and I could be
wrong. A lot of people think Khabib is not as good as you and I think.
Oh, I don't think he's that good. I have actually not watched. I think I've only watched his last
fight. RDA was the only person in the top five that he beat, and they're saying it was pre-RDA RDA.
So I've wanted Khabib to fight for a while. I wanted him to fight Pettis. I don't know a lot about him. I don't want to say that I don't think he's as good as he is. I honestly, of all like the top name fighters that I should know, I don't know Khabib very well.
You got Fight Pass.
I do.
You got time when you don't need to watch Tough in order to watch.
What am I going to watch? A bunch of.
Wow, 25 minutes of Khabib laying on people is what you're going to watch.
Bunch of wrestling, or am I going to go watch the Forrest Griffin Stephen Bonner fight?
I've seen that so many times now that.
It had been a long time since I'd seen it, and I realized that I had never seen the actual Tough show leading up to it. And that was a shit show.
Oh, yeah, they're dicks to Chris Lieben, and Chris Lieben makes himself look bad.
He kind of had it coming, though.
To be sprayed with a hose when you pass out in the front by grown-ass men.
He pissed on somebody's bed.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true. I forgot about that.
It was too much, like the father thing, and then he had just tried to get away from the situation. They were dicks to him, but he was also pranking people. But
yeah, he had a lot of huge issues.
It's not even that. It was just like the whole format was stupid. Okay, well, Chuck Liddell's team keeps winning. Chuck, good job winning. Now send one of your fighters over to Randy.
Well, they didn't really think about it. Like, oh, we're sending fighters home, and now we don't have any training partners for the rest of our fighters. So
it was so bad.
What do we do about this?
Diego looked like otherworldly. Like,
yeah, he was nutty. How about all of those guys fighting at 185? Kenny Florian, Diego Sanchez.
Schwick fighting at 205, and him being weighing it at 189 pounds for his fight.
Yeah.
And looking good against Bonner. He almost.
And then how heartbroken were you for Nate Quarry when he looked super good and then got injured?
Very sad. And it was nice that they kept him on as a coach. That was dope. And that Lieben got a comeback at that point, even though his hand was mangled to hell. But. No, I don't know. I've been getting more just into like the history of things, looking up Wikipedia pages, trying to watch some Tough. Tough Brazil was also interesting to me. A lot of this is spawned on by Reddit. Like somebody shows
posting,
a clip.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to see how everything plays out. But the they're interesting.
When I worked at GNC, I worked at a GNC in Centerville where I had nothing but time. We got like 20 customers a day. I went through and watched all of the Ultimate Fighter seasons up until like Ultimate Fighter 10.
That's probably what
so
it's going to be. Next, what I want to watch is Tough 1 Brazil. It's
Ronny Jason and those guys, right? Jason.
There's God's a big Ray controversy Pepe. With Ronny Jason. They actually show it in 3 because they make him fight his friend and Vanderlei flips his, like, just flips a brick about freaking him, make like Vitor making him fight his friend, and then he does it on Tough 3.
That's funny.
And he's like, it's different. It's a different situation.
I want to win.
And then they just go and just start bawling after. And it's like, same situation. They're both from the same gym. Like the Nogueira, they both fight with under the Nogueira brothers gym and super heartbroken about it. But
another interesting thing still happening. Nate Diaz passes his drug test for 202. And USADA is still looking into him for his potential cannabis use after the fight. Should they care? Should they only do pre-fight, post-fight for enhancing drugs, or should they try and get someone for cannabis after their match?
I think they should test for PEDs, performance enhancing drugs.
And so the thing was, is supposedly they're still under contract for the fight up to 6 hours after. But to me, it's like he took his last drug test. He took his post fight drug test. Who cares after that?
I don't know. I know that it's a lot more complicated. Every time I go into it, it's a lot more complicated of a situation than I realize that it is. And also, the other, not to keep always bringing up Tough, but the other thing that I saw when they bring in the NSAC in there, they bring in the woman doctor there, and all you do is see that she really cares about him and just wants to take care of him. And it's hard for me to, like, they're coming from a different place, you know?
That's USADA, not the NSAC.
Right, though, but I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, overall, they're trying to protect the fighters. I think they're doing it wrong there. Do I think that they should? No, but I mean, you see a little bit different side of it, because in my head, they're just kind of like, they're kind of just the evil entity that's just ruining my sport and not letting me watch the fights that I want to watch when they ping Jones or whatever it is, Frank Mir. But they're looking at it from different eyes, and I get that. I do think they need to reassess their rules. I don't know. There's a lot more. Like, if you would have told me that somebody was on an estrogen blocker before, I would have probably been like, that doesn't seem right. Oh, well. But, like, now it's banned. It's like, oh, he was just taking what?
It used to play a much bigger effect in the UFC when, like, Tim Sylvia got busted and Josh Barnett, where they were just booted from the UFC. Like, that was their champion. Both of them, I think, were busted when they were champions. Vitor Belfort was busted for steroids back in that day. Like, it's one of those things where I think it was more detrimental to the sport before because they didn't have anyone else, and the UFC was still cutting those fighters or not allowing them to fight for a long amount of time. And so there's more new blood now than there was then. So I think there's a lot more leeway, not leeway, but I mean, if someone's in the top four and can't win a belt and they test positive and disappear for 2 years, that's a great, I mean, look at Ronda Rousey in that division. That's a great time to get new fighters in there and new faces in to actually be able to compete. But sometimes I think they overstep their bounds or are trying to be too tough in this situation. I mean, if he took his post-fight P-test, he should be done. Diaz brothers. They really do.
I feel like.
Well, and Nate, or Nick has yet to pay his fine. So that's why he's not reinstated. And he's doing it off of principle, and probably because he has enough money that he doesn't have to. And probably because if he doesn't have enough money, Nate's probably taking care of him because he probably took care of Nate for a long period of time.
I was wondering about this. Is USADA beholden, or is any of the athletic commissions beholden to USADA, or do they just use them as a metric?
They just use them as a metric. The UFC, so, and that's what Brock about
Nick, what about Nick moving to a different promotion then?
He could go to RISN. I guess Bellator, because it's a Nevada State Athletic Commission, but I think a lot of the other athletic commissions follow the sanctions and suspensions from other ones. So he might be able to go to Texas and fight, but I don't think he can fight in Nevada, California, or some other
places.
Oh, and
his fines with the end is actually with Nevada. Yeah. It's not with USADA. That's right.
Yeah.
So that doesn't matter. Never mind.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's a great question, because if they did correlate, that would cause issues. But then you have WADA and all those other things too. But we got a couple minutes. Anything else you want to talk about? Any tough season things you want to bring up?
No. I think the fighting in Tough 3 is really great. And it's funny how bad season 1 is, but like just the gulf in talent. And then you look at it now.
Where's wrestler versus striker?
And it's not a lot of it's not a lot of drama now, really. But did you know that they had the guys pick the ring girl, and then they had a competition going all season long to pick the ring girl too, and it's fun though. I thought that
in which season?
3.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they pick a Brazilian. It's a nice house too, and their gym's way nicer than the. As far as I can tell, their gym's dope.
That's because when they started to actually get money.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have to work out at a 24 Fitness.
Well, and
Tough One.
And people watch it on Globo. Here they watch it, you know.
Oh, you're talking Brazil One.
Yeah. No, they pick it. And I was just thinking when I saw this, I want to talk to Justin about this. This wouldn't fly here.
Picking the ring girl?
Yeah, like almost the objectification of it. And then they have pajama nights with the girls where it's like the winning team of the stupid competition. Gets to have pajama night. They lock the other team in their root bedrooms.
Yeah, no, that most likely wouldn't fly in the States.
It was just a lot of it was kind of hokey though too, like because
they're going back to the spectacle,
right?
Yeah.
Well, even still, like they're not going back to the spectacle on Tough 25. It's pretty straightforward.
No, I'm talking Brazil 3.
What do you mean?
Their spectacle and Tough. Tough American Tough 1, it was all spectacle. Tough Brazil 3, they're throwing in picking ring girls and picking and pajama parties and that for spectacle. Tough 25, or Tough 24 is an actual competition between champions. Mm. They're not running the same tough competitions in Brazil as they are in the United States. I mean, the same competitions, people are fighting, but it's still an entertainment source in Brazil where it's a total fight source here in the United States. People got past the parody and the competition and kicking people off and all the weird stuff, the ejaculating into people's milk and all that junk.
The one thing I did like is it is making me, like, watching the more recent ones, it does make me excited for who's up and coming. Like, the Cara de Zapata, Zapato, I think is his name, he won the heavyweight, and he weighed in at, like, 207 pounds.
So he could easily make.
He fought.
It's like Rashad Evans when he won on Tough 2.
Or Diego Sanchez winning 185.
Yeah.
And
immediately dropping.
Yeah. Well, and so all of them are pretty much fighting out of it. So he won, and he fought against Vitor, who also, I think, weighed in at 227. I think could also make. There was a lot of people that could make light heavyweight. So there was some parity there, but then there were some big boys. I think Cara de Zapata would be interesting in the light heavyweight division. He looked really good. And then Orly Alves looks like.
He lost his last fight.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, because I haven't known these fighters before, so it was really interesting to me that he seemed interesting.
Yeah, he lost to Brian Barberena.
Wow, he's got all the tools in the world to win, man. That's surprising. I want to go back and watch that fight now.
Yep. So thanks for tuning in. Everyone, go back and watch Orly Alves, who was supposed to be the next big thing out of Brazil, go lose to Brian Barberena.
That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. Chell was always sold on this guy. He loved the hell out of him. Go back and watch him with me. Talk about it next week. We probably won't. Peace.